rocks, and I just ran into and hid underneath the apartment.
Well, it was for me because I was going south, and I just ran into that apartment.
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. We are at the concluding paragraph in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, Chapter 7, Law 1, and the Mishnayim text from page 274 and 275. We ended off the last paragraph with the idea of a nidui, excommunicating or a ban, and we're going to, after the first halacha, we're going to get into details of excommunicating. We're going to see there's more than one way of doing it, and there's different levels of it. You just think it's just one thing, and it's not so simple. Halacha Aleph, Chacham Zokei, a Chacham who is very wise. Remember, he doesn't have to be old. Zokei means someone who has kind of wisdom. So he has a tremendous amount of wisdom. And similarly, Vechei Nasi, or if the person is the Nasi, the prince, or Avbezin, or the head of the court, prestigious positions. And what has happened to them? Shesorach. They have sinned. So now, the type of sin that would normally require a nidui, this ban, to be placed on them. So, even if we have to do it, still, ein minadin oso befarhesya lolam. We do not do it publicly, okay? Rather, we do it discreetly, as will be explained. And even, no matter what, even if he sins again and again, forever, we never do it publicly. Now, nobody's beyond the law. Someone's done something wrong. You have to put a ban on him. But there is a certain respect that the office gives or the person had or whatever. And it would be a bigger chilul Hashem. In other words, nowadays, if you find a politician who's going to run, you bedafka want to make it in the public and tear the guy down and destroy him. But when you're talking about big chachamim, big people, they're not beyond the law, and they have to be punished. And if you have to put them in a ban, you put them a ban on them. But we don't do it in a very public way, even if they've done it a few time offender. Ella and Cain, unless also Yerovam ben Avot, unless he's a really bad guy like Yerovam ben Avot, who not only sinned but caused others to sin. Now that's already a new story. If the guy is leading others astray, Right. Then you have to put a ban on him. You have to publicize that because his corruption is going public as well, as it were. Avol kishechata shor chatos. Now, so that's it. That's point number one. That's bans. So we put a nidui on him. We put a ban on him. We excommunicate him, but we do it in a quiet way, which we'll explain exactly how we do it and. It might not be possible. Well, we'll see. We'll get to it. Now we go to a second halacha, and then we're going to come back to the bans. Now, what if the guy does a different avera? A guy does another sin, where the punishment is not to put a ban on him, but rather good old-fashioned lashes. So he's treif, intentionally, for whatever reason, whatever. He deserves to get lashes. Malkin also betzina. We give him lashes discreetly as well. Meaning to say, we use a bezdin of 3, but not the standard bezdin of, let's say, 23 or 71, as, let's say, a nasi would demand to have a much more prestigious bezdin. So we're trying to cover things up. So therefore, normally if a nasi has to go to court, you have 71 people there. But if you're going to lash him in front of 71, that's going to embarrass him. So now we make it a smaller court of only 3. That makes it an official court if we have to deal with these things. So you see there's always, I don't want to call it backroom management over here. He's done something wrong. He deserves to get lashed. Let's do it quiet. We don't have to publicize all these things.
It's not for his benefit, but for the benefit of the position.
That's right.
That's what we're protecting.
Yeah, or the Torah that he represents.
Why?
I think that's. Nothing I could explain it. I think that's pretty obvious.
Because wouldn't it be also?
They deserve a certain amount of covet. Even the guy makes a mistake. It's not the end of the world. He made a mistake.
But if a regular guy makes a mistake, it is the end of the world for them. They do get publicly humiliated.
Right. Okay.
And the standard, you think it'd be higher for these people who know the law?
He's getting the same punishment. Question is
but not the humiliation, which is sometimes part of the punishment.
You know what? For him to do it, it's humiliating enough. In front of 3 people, it's humiliating enough. The fact that he is going to get lashed in front of 3 people, it is. And it doesn't do good for the Jewish people to see that their leaders. Now, again, if it's like Yerovam and he's corrupting everybody, so I'm sorry. It's not a good thing. Well, just imagine nowadays you have, in any shul, you have a pulpit rabbi who's done something wrong, right? But not to the point, we're not talking to the point where he's
leading people astray.
He made a mistake.
His own personal life.
Whatever, he made a mistake, whatever it is. So you need to publicize it, no one's going to respect him.
Yeah.
And because he makes one mistake, that means he shouldn't get respect anymore? If you know a hungry Baal Batim will sharpen their knives, this would be like the, you know, it's feeding right into that, right? And then you never can trust a rabbi again or this. So again, it's not covering up. You know, this covering up means covering up, and the person doesn't get punished. This is a cover up to the point where we don't want to undermine the entire power of Klal Yisrael. The power of Klal Yisrael is in their zekanim, in their elders, in the leaders, in the Torah leaders. And if a Torah leader makes a mistake, you cover it up to the extent that justice is done, but you don't have to malign the office that's there. I think that's what it would seem to me.
One point, yeah. You brought up the mashal, you know, obviously the havdil politician. But it seems to me also there's a recognition. You have somebody who's dedicated their life to Am Yisrael and, you know, has done like a million incredible things and does one avera, right? So if we would throw him to the dogs, you know, it's another thing. Same thing like with a politician, like somebody who's done excellent work and let's say, you know, did one terrible thing and then his whole career...
Which isn't fair either.
But that's what I'm saying.
Unless he's done something terribly illegal.
But that's the reality of society, though. That's how society is, though.
No, society's not interested in the truth. It's interested in destroying people.
No, but that's what you're saying. Society is interested in destroying people.
But whatever way we want to look at it, people are held at a higher accountable level. Whether you're a politician or a personal spiritual for any religion, you know, guidance.
So you get punished, but you don't have to get punished more so than what the punishment should be.
You know what's interesting?
You understand?
Too,
you get your punishment, but you don't have to lose your title. That's right beyond the punishment. Let's pick any one of the 24 things to get needy on. Do you think a guy could do? Let's say one tzaddik he didn't remove his shaky ladder. Remember? Okay, he's a big tzaddik, but he's not so with it. What's going on in his house? An absent-minded rabbi, right? Whatever. Most rabbis' houses aren't exactly so manicured lawns and things like that, right?
Other things on his mind.
So the rabbi's got a shaky ladder there, right? And so they say, listen, you better, we're going to have to put you in the chayrim. He says, okay, I'll get to it. And got another 57 shilas he has to answer. He doesn't get to it. He says, sorry, Rabbi, we got to put him into chayrim. You know, you're not beyond the law. Okay, now you need to publicize that. You know, a lot of people would love to get some good Lashon Hara on me, to really catch me, they're praying for it. Imagine if God forbid, I did something bad and we publicized, that would it'd be a field day.
To pray.
I'm telling you, it'd be a field day. I'm just saying. So, and what if I forgot to remove the shaky ladder? Right? I didn't remove my shaky ladder. Okay, so the Vater Abundant will call me in. Okay, but we're going to put you in a chayim until you fix up, but we're not going to tell everybody about it.
What about molesting a child?
You know, say,
well, that's it. And that's when
okay, then
damage.
Then it's damage to other people. That's where you rub them in the butt. You know, you have to know where.
Let's keep it within ourselves. We don't have to involve the.
No, I'm just.
That's problematic.
Again, there's ways to do it. Again, there's no mitzvah to have to. Not all these things are nidui. You know, if get the guy out of his position, send him out of town.
City, but he could just do it there.
No. Send for it. You don't have to what is publicizing it help? Correct the problem. If he's, let's say, with children, take him away from the environment with children. Then set him up with some medical help. You know, and whatever legally has to be done to him.
But you could argue, I'm sorry to, we don't want to get off the tangent, but something like this, I personally believe is not correctable. If somebody is a...
So then what are you supposed to do with him?
Well, I think in this case, you would publicize so people would stay away from him.
Or just keep him away from him. Okay, you try to figure a solution.
Ends up happening is what you said is he gets sent, you know, instead of Toronto, he's in Cleveland. And nobody knows about it because nobody wants to speak. And then he does...
Okay, you've got to protect people too. If you feel there's no way you can protect people without it being publicized, then maybe you'd have to. I always feel maybe it might be. Send them to a city where there ain't no people. Send them to the South Pole, you know. I don't know. Okay, if you feel it's something that's not correct, well, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to debate with you. You'd hope that every sin you could do tshuva.
Right.
You know, alcoholics can recover, and sexaholics should be able to recover. If you're saying the person can't do tshuva for it, that's pretty strong words. So you'd have to see. But again, you can't put other people at risk. But there are times. What if the guy didn't pay his taxes? I say didn't pay his taxes, right? So the government's got. So okay, pay the taxes, keep it quiet. I'm just saying that there's certainly you don't have to destroy the office, and the person there can be doing a great job, and he's just made a mistake. He has to get punished, but you don't have to publicize it. And what's the proof to this? Shenamar says, "V'chashalta hayom, you will stumble today. V'chashal gam navi im chaloyla, and your navi will stumble with you at night." Why does he have to say at night? So it's coming teachers. Afal pisha kashal, even though he has stumbled, kasehu kaloyla, cover it up like light, like dark, just like the dark. Nobody can see anything. So the same thing as well. Okay, now. We now go back. Now we've said two separate halachas. We said you do nidui privately, lashes privately. Now we're going back to nidui, back to the band.
Can I just ask one question before we go?
Yeah.
So if you're dealing with an individual who doesn't have,
so I got 3 days to finish this parak, so we're okay.
Who doesn't have a position of power, particularly? Why is it beneficial to ruin their lives reputationally?
Well, no, they don't have a reputation. Guy's a regular guy. Guy, a regular water carrier. You did something wrong. People have to know that there is law and order, and that people do something wrong, they have to be excommunicated. People need to know about it. Generally, laws, people need to know about these things. We're just saying for chachamim, people like that, we cover up only for them.
I think if a tailor cheated on his taxes, why does everyone have
Okay, we're getting a little too bogged down in the details here. We have to look at what are the things that we do it, right? Guy ate treif with witnesses. What's the law? Lashes. People got to know. Guy eats treif, witnesses told him he gets lashes. He's got to be punished. We wouldn't tell people about taxes, Taka. I don't think it's not something that would have. I'm just saying.
So if a great rabbi ate treif, you do it privately, and if you do it publicly.
That's right. That's right. Again, you're destroying more. If the rabbi was only a regular person, we would do it publicly. But you're destroying the authority of the office. And once you destroy that, you'll never get it back. If it was just the guy, it'd be one thing. But it's the office you're destroying, and you can't destroy that office. Okay, so now we're coming back to the ban, the nidui, privately. This is how we're going to do it now. We say to the guy when we're to the big tzaddik, he kaved. Now, what does that word v'shev b'veisecha? So that's already a bit of discussion what that means. So they basically different explanations over here. But for example, Rashi says the key word they're trying to understand is what's he kaved mean. There's a pasuk in Malachim uses such a word. So what they're saying is, they say, basically, stay in your house. Stay in your house. Better don't go out of your house. Rashi says, make it like you have a headache. Call in sick. You know, and Malachim kaved means, like, to keep your honor. You have two, two meanings over here. You know, you could keep your honor and stay in the house. Or, say you have a kaved, say you have a headache and stay in the house. Come up with an excuse, but just stay in your house till the ban is lifted. All right? So that way, no one does it. Rabbis do get sick. The guy says, and it doesn't have to necessarily be a long time. Say, just tell everybody, tell the secretary you're sick, you're not feeling well, you have very big migraine headaches, and you're going to be away for a few days and stay home. That's basically what
the people are going to start talking when the rabbi's sick. Oh, well, maybe. It's because.
But everybody gets sick. Everybody gets sick. No, that's already. That's not. I don't think anybody's accused me of going against a ban if I get sick.
You're getting us new excuses.
Get too sick too often. Anyway, v'chein kol talmid chacham shenischayev nidui. Similarly, any talmid chacham. Now we're ready. Stepping down a level here, who is chayiv and nidui, Also, lebeisdin likpaitz v'landos v'imhera. They shouldn't jump and put a ban on him right away. But really, you try to run away from doing it. You try to avoid it as much as possible. Remember, they mentioned about Marzutra, that when he had to put another rabbi into Cherem, because he would have so much pain in doing it, what would he do? He would ban himself first. So he'd feel the pain of the one who'd be putting the ban on. That's what we've had many instances in some classes lately. Remember, if you have to give tzedakah to the poor man, you have to feel as if you are the poor man going through that. So, you know, if you're especially giving it to a chacham, you have to be careful. You don't rush into it. Apply it upon yourself a little bit, etc., etc.
Wouldn't you apply the same to your average Jew?
I guess they'd be busy all day long putting themselves in cherem. I would imagine it's not as frequent situation. Right. And regular Jews, it was probably much more frequent. And again, I don't know if you could put yourself in his shoes. I'm talking about a chacham now. Chacham, there's embarrassment. There's a lot more than just that. That's the only reason I'm trying to keep it quiet. A regular Jew, you know, they have to be empathetic, I'm sure, but that has to be publicized.
He says here that you're to jump on hastily pronounce. So it implies...
For chachamim.
Right, for chachamim. But it almost implies that... For a regular Jew, you kind of like, you get some circumstantial evidence.
No, it doesn't mean like that. No, it can't go against heavy mesunim adin. Mishnah Pirkei says you have to be deliberate in judgment. There's deliberate, and for rabbis, it has to be slower than deliberate.
Yes, holding back even.
That's what it means. Like you really almost want to avoid doing it entirely.
Right.
So, I don't think we take the word jumping here is relative to what they should be getting. Because you can't jump into any judgment. So he obviously can't mean that literally. And look how far it goes. And there were certain rabbis who praised themselves that they never put a ban on any Torah scholars in their whole lives. That's how they tried to avoid it. Rav Papa says, I should be rewarded by Hashem that I never put a rabbi in a ban. Now, I'm sure he just didn't do that. He had to get him to do tshuva and other things. I'm sure Republicans just cast a blind eye. That would be, because say, listen, I don't want to ban you, but you know, let's discuss why you did this. Let's come up with a plan of tshuva. Maybe we should be studying together for the next few weeks. Maybe this. I'm sure it can't
he
be
went,
that
like
just,
out of his way to
correct it. The situation, but not put him in a ban. That's
so,
what it.
So that's the key. In that time period, you.
He has to do that, right?
To do tshuva rather than.
That's right. Now,
have the
right. So they never put a guy in cherem. Even on the other hand, shenimnin lahalkos on this guy malchus. But if the guy needs to get lashed, they're going to give him lashes. Vafilu makas rabbanon, even rabbinic lashes, biblical or rabbinic lashes, nimnin lahalkos. They would give him that. That they wouldn't hold back on already. They get lashes. That's already, you know, part of, that's already a bit...
Well, because you can't really do tshuva to avoid the lashes, can you?
I mean, that's what we're saying. But this whole nidui thing is a very, you know, I don't know exactly what this, I don't think the Chumash has a source. Ram did not give us a source for this excommunication business. He didn't bring any psukim saying that it's a pasuk, you know. This seems to be a whole rabbinic thing in and of itself, just to keep people... You know, there's certain averus you could do that it's not black and white, so we just have to, you know, clamp down on the guy, put him in a cherem. So since that's a less on the books type of thing, so we have a little more leeway. But in other things, like last year, you don't have leeway. Okay, now Bayes is going to now tell us, in Gimel, we're going to see there's different levels of this kind of ban that you can give him. There's a machlokas, the Rambam, another Rishon, exactly how many levels are there. One second. Okay. Base. The Kates and Hawanidu. So let's go through what is it when you put a person, anybody now. Now we're talking about Chacham now. We're talking about anybody now. Put anybody in a Nidui, in a ban, what do? So the Rambam's opinion is, we say, what is the best? They take the evidence and they have to render the decision, have to pronounce judgment. So this is what we know. How do they pronounce the judgment? So say, Ploni Yehe Bishamta. Ploni, so-and-so, should be under what is called in Aramaic, Shamta. Shamta means, is one of the expressions, if you recall that words, you ever say that ever? once a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yom Kippur, Hataras Nadarim. Lo Nidui, Lo Shamta. The next time you'll see.
I'd love to have someone explain.
Yes, right. So they say so and so is in Shamta. Now, Shamta means ostracized. So, according to the Rambam, he holds that the phrase Nidui and Shamta is the same thing. And we'll see in a minute, there's going to be another level called cherem. I was using the term cherem loosely, but really, if you want to be specific, cherem only applies to a certain type of ostracization, whatever you're going to call it, ostracism, whatever you call it. But the Rambam seems to say that there's just two levels. Nidui or shamta, that's the same level, and cherem is another level. The Ravid disagrees and says there's three levels, Nidui and Shamta stronger than that, and Cherem is even stronger than that. But that's, okay, we don't have to get into so much detail. But that's if it's that. Now it's interesting, you can put the guy in a ban, ostracism, not in front of his face. What if he's not in court? What's one of the examples of you put a guy in Cherem for, you put ostracism, he won't come to court. It's one of the examples. The court calls him in, line comes, I ain't coming. Okay, what are they going to do? Well, okay, we're now summoning you to court to be ostracized. Well, he didn't come for the first thing, he ain't coming for that either. So you have to do it not in front of his face. If it's not in front of his face, they say, so-and-so has been under Shamta. He's ostracized. If even they do it in front of him, they put a ban in front of him, he's in the court there, Omer, they say, Plony Zed, this guy here, George, right here, Bishamta, he is in Shamta. So that's the lower level. The Hacherim, and when you put a guy under Cherem, that's the more common term we have. So with Cherem, Omrim Lo, we say, Ploni Mocharam. So-and-so is under Mocharam. That's the Aramaic way of conjugating the verb. It says a Cherem. Cherem, Omrim Lo, they say in front of him, Ploni Mocharam. Right? Or if he's not in front of him, you would just say someone should be in Cherem. Now, he adds a little bit more explanation. Now there's a word called orur. V'orur bo. Whenever you use the term orur, it can incorporate three different explanations. Allah, which is a curse. So orur bo Allah, it could be in it understood as Allah is a curse. Bo shvua, orur can also mean it's a form of a language of an oath. Bo nidu, it can also be a expression of nidu, putting a guy in ban. So the word orur can have one of those three meanings. So now, why is he telling this? So let's say a chacham says to somebody who should be in nidui, what if he uses instead of the word, a different word, he says orur ato. Instead of saying yehei b'shamta, what if the guy said orur ato? He says orur ato, that means he put him in a nidui. And we have to treat him that way. In other words, it's critical that those words you say are going to make a difference. So depending on the situation, or let's say a person wants to curse somebody, and you can get punished for that. So one of the languages would be, Arur Ato, I'm cursing you. You have to know what the context is. I hate you, you're a son of a gun. You know, Arur Ato. By God, you should be overruled. Right? Now he's cursing with God's name. Now that guy's going to get punished for that. So I didn't know that's a four-letter word. It is a four-letter word. Arur is a four-letter word. Okay, this is the origin of the four-letter word. Okay, so that's all the Rambam is saying. Arur, it can have three meanings. It can either mean the Besson can use it to put the guy in a ban instead of the word shamta, which is for a nidui, or it could be a form of an oath, or it could be a form of a curse. Okay, so now. Now then, how do we get the guy out of it? Let's just do time for another halacha or two. So that was just the wording we use.
Is he going to explain the difference between these levels?
I don't think he's going to explain it. He is going to explain it. I'm pretty sure he is going to. It's been a while. It's been a week since I looked at this. The Ravid gives his own explanations because he says there's three levels. He says, where are we now? The Ravid says, the lightest one is Nidui. Shamta's worse. When you give the guy Shamta, you throw in a curse for good measure. Right? And they say to the guy, the Ravid's different than Ram. He's saying, that's when you say, Arur Ato, you are cursed. That's second level curse. And Cherem is worse than that. Again,
are
that
they based on actual different circumstances?
There will be. You'll see the Rambam will give the differences in exactly how we treat him and what how do we ostracize him. There's higher levels of ostracizing, which will probably be tomorrow or the next day. Okay, fine. So let's go into Gimel. The Ketzed Matirim. Now, how do we nullify this ban? Okay, there's a lot of ways to do it. Let's say you can put it in, give him a 30-day ban. Or whatever. So how do you take it off? Hanidu Archerim. Omer lo, they say, they have the official verbalization of this. Shoyer loch umochel loch. It's permitted and it's forgiven. They have to use that term. Mitir shlobafanav, they do it, if they don't in front of his face. Omer lo, ploni shoyer lomochel. So and so has now been forgiven and it's gone. So it needs a formal verbalization to take that off. Okay. Sure. So now let's begin. What?
Are we saying that this time factor, or is it tshuva?
It depends on a lot of factors. Sometimes it's a time factor. Sometimes he has to do certain things. It depends.
It could be a circumstance. Just doesn't do anything, and you say it's 30 days, and then it's over.
Now, what I mean by time factor, it could be time. It could be a time by this time we expect you to do a certain amount of tshuva,
right.
Whatever. But whenever that period is over, it's not enough that it's over. They have to say something. Right. That's the point. They say, you know, let's say he has to remove the ladder. Right? Until he removes the ladder. So let's say he removes the ladder. Still, they have to formally say it's off. Okay, now we're going to discuss the first level, what we do with the guy, Dalad. When we take the lower level of Nidui, the simple ban, what conduct does he have? So, Menuda, Osir, Lesapr, Lechabes, Ka'ovel, Kol Yimei Niduyu. A person who is banned is not allowed to take a haircut. He's not allowed to clean his clothes like a mourner all the days that he's under that ban of Nidui. So he's ready, conducting himself as a mourner, basically. Vein mizamnin alav, and we don't invite him for certain mitzvahs, for the simple one is pashut zimunos, benching. You need three guys for benching. He's not included in the mizumin for benching. And more than that, and he's not included in 10 for anything that needs 10. He's not part of a minion. Don't say alokeinu. Wherever you need 10 people, he's like a non-existent person. Goes without saying he wouldn't get an aliyah on his father's yard site.
But that would have to be publicly known.
Well, we do that for all people, except for chachamim.
So how would that work then?
We told him, stay in the house.
Oh, stay in the house.
Right? Stay in the house. You're sick, remember?
Right.
Yeah,
it's almost like he's lost his Jewish status.
Almost. Not quite, but we don't treat him.
Right.
We don't treat him like a Yid. No, that's pretty. It's almost you're treating him like a non-Jew. Almost, but certainly if the guy's got a yurt, you know, so there was certain power. You know, the lo yoshvim imo bar amos. You don't even. No one's allowed to sit, stand within 4 amos of him. Clear away. It's like a pariah. Hmm. However, we can't totally discard the guy. Avol shono hu la'achayrim v'shayno lo. He can't teach others Torah, and others can't teach him.
Isn't that from Acher?
Right, from Acher. That's one example.
Acher in this category?
Was he in
this
category? Well, he definitely was ostracized.
But he was teaching Rabbi Meir, right? So.
Well, he wasn't. Rabbi Meir at least did it. It could be he was on a worse level. I don't know. Nobody else learned from him, though. Maybe he's the next level. We'll have to see. But anyway, so he's not that bad off. He can't take away his Torah learning because then the imamish can't live with that. Viniskar, and he's able to be hired out for socher, or rent out of the to do work. In other words, he can still be involved in business. Let's see, he's a day laborer. He's got to work. He's got to bring home food. What if he had to hire workers? Is he not going to hire the other workers? He's going to lose their parnosa because he's in the nidui. So he can't disrupt that kind of business.
But still, you cannot be within 4 amos of him.
So he had a distance. No handshakes. Deals, you fax it to him, right? But you can't be that close to him, that's for sure. And look at this one now. The mace binidua, what if he dies during the time that the ban is on? So it never really went off. Bez in Sholchun Umanichan Evan Al Rono, they put a big stone on his coffin. Klomar, as if to symbolically say Shem Rogan, so it's like they're stoning him. Lufishu moved on Mitsiber, because he's separated from the congregation. Goes without saying, we don't have to even say, it's for sure you can't. So we don't say any eulogies for him. So we don't even accompany the casket. He is bamish buried in a very not noble fashion.
Even if he did shuva, but the time...
No, he didn't. Well, they didn't take the van off.
Because the time hasn't...
Well, whatever. That's why one of the risks, you don't want to be in that state too long, because you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't bury him in the most honorable place either. So that's.
Does his family have his restrictions about the amount and all that?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. I have to. You got me on that one. Email that to me, please. Okay. We'll see. Now tomorrow we'll discuss the next level. Yeah. What? That the stand for. Okay. It's all the same kind of question. Okay. We'll have to check it out. Okay. Yeah.
It seems a lot of these stringencies for him are related to things with people. But why would the haircut, which is really for himself?
Well, he has to act like a more. He has to realize. He's being cut off from the Jewish people. He hasn't been a state of mourner. Like a mitzvah does the same thing. A mitzvah has to wrap himself over. He also has to let certain things grow.
But there's a difference there, because that's voluntary. This is not necessarily voluntary.
Mitzvah is not voluntary. A kohen makes you a mitzvah. A kohen says you have tzaraas. So it's part of the tshuva process requires a person to not focus on the physical world so much. Probably one of the reasons he has been put into Cherem is because he's too involved in the physical world. And we try to reduce his involvement in the physical world. You're not so handsome, you're not so beautiful. And start thinking about your neshama a little bit. And once you think of that, maybe that'll spur you out to do tshuva. And then everybody else is staying away from you as well. Okay, we'll look at the next level tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Shkoyach, guys. Have a very happy birthday. Whatever, Queen's birthday.